Under Section 6321 of the Internal Revenue Code, any person liable to pay any tax neglects or refuses to pay the same after demand, the amount, including any interest, additional amount, additional tax, or assessment penalty, together with any costs that may accrue in addition thereto, shall be a lien in favor of the United States upon all property and rights to property, whether real or personal, belonging to such persons. Okay, what does that mean? That means that once the tax is properly assessed, which could be either the filing of the return or after an audit, and the IRS sends a notice saying you didn't pay us what you were supposed to pay us, and the taxpayer doesn't pay, there is a lien. So that lien is created and sometimes is referred to as a secret tax lien. In other words, there's no notice to the world, but that lien exists, and it is effectively automatically perfected at that moment in time. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So the secret tax lien arises automatically at the moment those three things happen. There is only one tax lien, and that lien is retroactive. The retroactive is relevant for those situations where maybe somebody has transferred property to a family member, and then the notice for tax lien gets filed. That transfer of property, because the lien was in place at the time of the transfer, it's retroactive back to the time when those three elements were present. Okay, so the notice of federal tax lien, which is probably more relevant to us as bankruptcy lawyers, is notice to the world that there is, in fact, a tax lien. And that tax lien has to be filed in the county records and so forth to provide notice to the world. That's what the notice of federal tax lien looks like. That's probably an old form, but that's what they look like. And it will, you know, delineate the type of tax and the years and so forth. Okay. So you're thinking to yourself, how in the world is it, if this secret lien exists, you're probably thinking to yourself, how in the world does a title company ever close on the sale of a house without knowing whether or not the person who's selling the house has a tax lien? It's a perfectly valid question. And the answer is that unless the IRS has filed the notice of tax lien, then these four types of folks, referred to as the four horsemen, the tax lien cannot be enforced against them. So purchasers for value, mechanic lien holders, holders of security interest, judgment lien creditors. And again, for our purposes, it's important to know that the unfiled, when there's no notice for tax lien has not been filed, then the tax lien can be avoided under 544. Okay, so once the notice for tax lien is filed, it attaches to all property, even exempt property. If the notice for tax lien has not been filed, it does not attach to exempt property, and the tax lien remains on excluded property. We'll talk about what excluded property is in a minute. So as an example of that, let's say you have a house. It has it's worth $250,000. It's got a mortgage on it for $150,000, and there's a tax lien out there for which there has been a notice for tax lien filed for $125,000. So common conversation between me is, in that situation, because the notice for tax lien has been filed, even though it's an exempt homestead, there's a $100,000 tax lien, because that's the value, the equity that's in the house, and then you have a priority unsecured tax claim of, say, $25,000. You may not know whether it's priority or unsecured at the moment, but we'll talk about what makes that distinction, too. So common conversation that I have with clients is, I want to file a Chapter 13. I've got about $100,000 of equity in my house. And then we say, okay, how much money do you owe the IRS? Well, I owe the IRS $125,000. In that situation, my response usually is, that's nice, you're renting your house. Right? Because every payment they make to the mortgage company, you've now increased the amount of the tax lien. Right? Because they owe more in taxes than what they had in equity in the property. And sometimes that will convince them to file a Chapter 7 as opposed to a Chapter 13 if that's the right facts and circumstances. Okay. So that brings us to secured tax claims related to ERISA. And this really arose because there was a question on the listserv recently about actually the IRS trying to collect against the retirement account. So there's a Supreme Court case called Patterson versus Shumate that says that the debtor's interest in an ERISA qualified pension plan may be excluded from property of the bankruptcy estate pursuant to 541(c)(2). Basically, if it's an ERISA-based plan, it doesn't even come into the bankruptcy estate, or at least it may not come into the bankruptcy estate. For a number of years, when I filled out schedules for someone and they had a 401k or a defined benefit plan or something like that where it was an ERISA-based plan, I'd put zero as the value on the side and then put Patterson versus Shumate in the remarks about that particular asset.